Good morning, Crossline. It's good to see you. Welcome to Sunday. I love Sunday. Sundays are great days. It's a chance for us to gather together as a body. My name is Jordan Gash. I'm the community life pastor here at Crossline, and I am the blessed husband to my wife, Alex, and my three boys, John, Caleb, and Luke. But most importantly, I'm a servant of the Most High God. Right? Amen. Well, a couple weeks ago, JP asked if I would fill in for him this morning. And as Gigi said, he is away in Haiti, ministering to those there. Lots of amazing things happening in Haiti. And in fact, it's a men's trip, so Pastor Kenny is there as well. And then you have Pastor Taylor, who's over at the young adult retreat. So we've kind of cleaned house. So guess what? You got me, right? And thank you. But here's why I think it's good news that you're here today. It's not because I have some inflated view of myself, but truly because I have been on my knees begging the Lord to give me a word today, that he would give me a word for you today. And I've been praying for each and every one of you, you by name, those that I know, I've been praying for you. And here's what's been happening, you guys. As I've been seeking the Lord, as I've been on my knees, and as I've really wanted him to give me a word, I believe he has. Here's what I've discovered about today, is that I'm called and commanded to speak to your hearts today, not your heads, not your heads. I'm not going to speak to your heads today. I'm going to speak to your hearts. I believe that God wants me to share with you what God has uniquely put inside Jordan Gash. I don't get to get up here very often, so I want to make it count, right? I believe that he wants me to share what uniquely has been put inside of me. And I'm going to crank that up to 11, right? You guys are getting Kung Pao extra spicy today, whether you ordered it or not, right? So that's what you guys are getting. But hang in there with me. Because again, as I said, I just truly believe this is a visionary word for our church. Would you guys join me in prayer as we begin today? You are the miracle worker, God. God, you move mountains. You bring walls down. There is nothing that you can't do. We believe that. Help those that are here today that struggle with that belief. Even when we, our belief faints, God, I pray that you would be the one to fill us up, that you would give us that belief. I pray that you would set our hearts ablaze for you, Jesus. We are in times where the world needs you. The world needs you. The world needs your disciples to rise up and to be bold in their proclamation. So God, we seek you. We ask for you to show up today. Carry my words and plant them in the hearts of these people because they're your words. They're from you, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today, Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So usually at this point in the message, I would begin with some really clever story, and it'd be funny, and you'd all be laughing. And then I'd masterfully weave it into the point that I'm trying to really make. But the fact is, I'm too excited to do that, and I just want to get right into it. I'm seeing the clock, so I just want to get right into it. So if you have your Bibles, take them out and open them up, but don't go too far. Don't go too far. In fact, don't go even beyond page one. We're going to be in Genesis 1. Now, some of you guys that are very observant, you've looked at your outline, you know that today's on John 15. You're going, wait a second, Genesis 1? Whoa there, Turbo. We'll get there. I promise you. We need to start here. Genesis 1. Here's what it said. Verse 1. What better place than to start in the beginning? It says this. In the beginning, God. We don't even need to go any further, right? In the beginning, God. Just so we're all clear, at the start of all things was God. It's always been about him. All the way from the very beginning. And then he goes on as we read chapter 1 and he creates the waters and the land and the plants and the animals. And they're all good. But then he creates mankind. He creates man. Look at verses 26 and 20 through 28. says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number." God made man to be the ultimate reflection of his glory. Born of God, he was made in God's image to bring glory to God amongst all creation. Even the angels were in awe at the creation of man, that God would make someone that would be available for relationship with him, intimate relationship with the Creator. And it says that it was very good. It was very good. But as most of us know the story, major plot twist, chapter 3. The devil comes in the form of the serpent, and he basically says to mankind, "God is selfish. He's holding out on you, taking all the glory. What's he all about? He's selfish. Don't you want a little bit of that glory?" And in that moment, mankind gives in to the sinful nature, gives in to the selfishness that's in our hearts. And thus we begin the defect of humanity, self-glorification rather than our designed God glorification. And this trend moves all the way through the Old Testament. We see in Genesis 12, God chooses Abraham to be the father of the Israelites, a chosen people, people that actually would bring him glory. And yet, all throughout the Old Testament, time and time and time and time again, they fail. They fail to bring God glory. They fail to live up to the purpose for which they've been designed. As a metaphor in the Old Testament, we see multiple times that Israel is seen as God's vineyard. And every time that God goes and tries to find fruit in his vineyard, he only finds bad grapes. It speaks of this on Isaiah 5. In Isaiah 5, listen to what it says about the vineyard. Verse 2. "Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad fruit?" God is heartbroken over this. He's heartbroken over this because it has always been about God and his glory from the very beginning. And what we'll see in the New Testament is that God himself will create a new way to get the fruit he so desires. He himself will make the way for us. So now that we have this context, now we can go to John 15. Now we can read John 15. So flip your Bibles over to John 15. It's in the back of the Bible, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're looking at John 15 today. We're looking at verses 1 through 8. This is what it says. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more faithful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Most of us in this room have heard this passage. It's familiar. Yeah, Jesus is the vine. I'm the branches. I remain in him, and then I could do stuff. Yeah, got it. Some of you are hearing this for the very first time, and if that is you, I'm so excited you're here. You are supposed to be here today. But can I ask a favor from all of us? Can we approach this passage, wherever we're at with it, like we're reading it for the first time? That we're reading it and we're really trying to see, what is Jesus trying to tell us? What is he communicating to us in this passage? Let's look at it with fresh eyes. Because in this passage, Jesus is promising power, necessary power to accomplish that God glorification that he desires. Necessary power to accomplish the greater things that Jesus promises in 14:12, in the chapter before, right? He says, you will do the things that I have been doing, yet even greater things will you do in my name. This is what we need. This is the necessary power that we need to do those greater things. If this is not true, then there is no next book. The next book is Acts. There is no Acts. Have you read Acts lately? There's some gnarly stuff in there, like crazy, amazing Jesus things going on in that book. There's a lot of something that isn't nothing, which is what you get without Jesus, right? Apart from me, you can do nothing. And Acts is a lot of something. We all have a something. You have a something. In fact, we have a lot of something to do. And even more so, each one individually has a unique something that God wants from you, a special way that you can glorify God. It's for all of you. It's for you. It's for you. It's for you. It's all you up there. Thanks for the wave. I see you. God is doing amazing things through us. So that's what's for us. But we can't do it without Jesus. So tune on your listening radar, because I'm going to tell you how you're going to accomplish all that God has created you for. Do you want to know that? That's right. So do I. Says this, every one of us, this is what I want you to hear today. Every one of us can believe in the promise of the powerful life, because of what I'm calling the ABCs of the life that brings God glory. That's on your notes. We've been appointed for it. We've been blessed with it, and we've been commanded to it. We've been appointed for it, blessed with it, and commanded to it. This is where we're going today. This is what we're looking at today as we look at these promises. So as we look and the fact that we've been appointed for it, we have John 15, the first two verses. Listen to what it says. It says, I am the true vine, Jesus speaking here, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So as I was researching for this message and getting ready and preparing, I gotta admit, I stumbled upon this 2005 documentary on growing grapes and producing wine, and I totally got sucked into the magnificence that is educational television, right? Right, I loved it. It was every part of it. And I wish I could tell you everything about it, but let me just boil it down to you, because the key point of this documentary is profound. Okay, you ready for this? Vineyard owners plant grapes to get grapes. Right? Vineyard owners plant grapes to get grapes, and good grapes, and as many grapes as they possibly can. No vineyard owner actually plants grapevines because they like the way the leaves look. No vineyard owner is jumping up and down rejoicing over a mediocre harvest. Yay! No, they're going to do whatever it takes to get as many grapes as possible, good quality grapes from the vineyard. So when we look at the scriptures and we look at this kind of metaphor, we can see that God is the vineyard owner. God is the gardener. And guess what? He's the same. He wants grapes. He wants good grapes. He's in the business of getting good grapes, the grapes of his glorification. And he's good at it. He's really good at it. He's going to work in ways sometimes that you or I may not like in order to get more grapes. Because that is what he's doing. That is what he's all about. It's always been about his glory, right? Genesis 1, in the beginning, God. It's always been about God. So he's going to do to get that. He's going to clean away the branches that are unproducing, and he's going to prune the ones that are struggling. He's going to prune so that they can get actually more grapes out of those branches. My grandma Esther is an amazing woman. I love her so much. But one thing that she would do when she would come to our house, she'd come and she'd have her shears, and she was an amazing gardener. She'd have her shears and kind of look at our yard, and then she'd just start, go to town. And I'd kind of come out and I'd look at the garden and go, "What happened? You destroyed it." And she'd look at me with her smile and she'd say, "Never be afraid to prune. Pruning is the way." And sure enough, right, we'd have this abundant, growing garden. When you prune, the result is less but larger bunches. Less but larger bunches. Here's the deal. God is going to really focus his energy and his spirit on the ways that you have been uniquely gifted. Because that's where he's going to get the larger bunches. And he's going to prune the less measly fruit-producing parts of your life. But sometimes you want to hold on. I like this part. God's made you for a specific reason. We want to discover what that specific reason is that he's created it for us. And so we have to look at the why. And I'm gonna jump in. Pastor Kenny's speaking next week. I'm going to skip a little bit into his message. But he's not here and he can't do anything. So verse 16. Listen to this. It says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. You have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit." You've been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. You've been chosen and appointed to be filled with God-glorifying power. God has taken the true vine that was Jesus. He planted in him in the garden. He grafted you in for what reason? So that you can look pretty and green and shiny? No, to get grapes. Good grapes that glorify God. You are here for a reason. You're not an accident. You have a purpose. You have a purpose which God wants to appoint you to, that he wants you to walk in and to live in. And the beautiful part about that is that he actively wants to help you accomplish your purpose. He's not sitting back watching, seeing if you do it. But he's involved with you. He's involved in your life. Actually, in fact, he's fully involved in your life, wanting you to accomplish that purpose which he's designed you for. And what a blessing that is. That is a blessing. You are blessed with that opportunity. You are blessed with the powerful life. As I said, right, when you choose to place your faith in Jesus and choose to accept that which you've been appointed and chosen for, you are actually grafted in to Jesus. You're grafted in, and the nourishing sap of Jesus' spirit thrusts into you and fills you so that you will grow and so that you will produce fruit. You can't take any of the credit. All of it is actually coming from Jesus and his spirit. How blessed we are that we have that. This is the blessing of the powerful life. The fact that we get to have Jesus inside of us, that Jesus actually wants to do the work for us, that Jesus wants to work in our lives, he's involved in our lives, he knows about you, he knows about your kids, he knows about your spouse, he knows about your challenges, he knows about all the little things. He wants to work in your life and work through those things. How blessed we are. And we get to the main chunk of this passage. John 15, we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 7. Listen what it says. It says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." It's in this passage, in this part of the John 15 that we encounter verse 4. And in that word that if you've been around Crossline long enough, you probably know it because JP's talked about it quite a bit. But it's that word remain is the Greek word meno. And it sometimes is translated in what I prefer is the way abide. If you abide in me. And here's what meno means. It means to really make your home with someone, to remain in a long period of time. It's to wait for and to endure patiently with something. That's that word, minno. And here's what the promise is. He said it three different ways. That fruit bearing is impossible without abiding, but it's inevitable with abiding. It's impossible without abiding, but it's inevitable with abiding. If you make your home with Jesus and you stick with it, you will reap the benefits. Jesus is like that friend, you know, that we all want, that gets you into like exclusive places. He's like, "You're hanging with me," or like that special cabin in Aspen that you want to go, like, but like times a billion because it's way better. But like, he wants to provide you with those good gifts. He wants to work with you, get you to places that you can't go yourself. I want to stop for just a second because as I was preparing this message, I realized I'm kind of going through this whole thing. I'm talking about fruit bearing, and I really want to give a good definition of what that fruit is. What is the fruit that Jesus is talking about here? The fruit is the characteristics of a life that brings God glory, honor, and praise, that gives God, that elevates the fame of his name. It's the affection of his people. This is what that fruit is. But here's also what I know. I, Jordan Gash, I can't produce fruit in my sinful nature. I just can't do it. In my sinful nature, I can't love God. I can't please God. I need to be woven into Jesus, and Jesus needs to be woven into me for that to even be possible. Romans 8:8 says it, right? Those that are still living in the sinful nature can never please God. Galatians 5:17, the spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh, and the flesh what is contrary to the spirit. They are in conflict with each other. It just doesn't work in my sinful nature. I need Jesus for that. You need Jesus for that. But here's the good news of the blessing. Ready? Okay. In the chapters previous, Jesus multiple times talks about how he is going to be betrayed and he's going to be given unto death. But that's a good thing because it's for the greater plan of God's glory. And we ask, well, how could this be good news? And the disciples were asking, how could this be good news that you would die, that you'd be given under death, that you'd be betrayed? This doesn't work. But he says, through this, the blessing and power will be given to you as my followers. If we go back to that amazing vine picture, I want to tell you guys what grafting looks like. Because this is important for you to understand. Okay, and again, this was in the documentary that I watched, right? So it's incredible. So in the grafting process, the first step is basically you take this steadfast and thriving vine, and you just hack the whole top of it off. So there's no branches, no nothing in there. It's just this vertical root stem. And it's hacked off the top, and it actually is let to sit for a couple days, and all of the what was inside begins to come out the top of it in something called bleeding. It begins to bleed out of the top of that. But what you have done actually by cutting it is not kill it, but actually by cutting it, you've actually woken up the root stem. You've built up the production in the root stem. And so what you thought was totally dead, was totally gone, in fact, is actually becoming more fully alive than ever. And so it's in that process, when in the bleeding, that the little bud gets taken and it gets put into the root stem. And then all of that nourishing sap then gets thrust into these little tiny buds, and it begins to grow. And that bud then becomes totally connected to that root stem, so that it's him, that vine and the bud, and the bud and the vine. Jesus in us, and us in Jesus. And it grows and it builds. It's 100% connected and dependent on that root stem, so that fruit will be grown. This is the gospel. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, right, they will cut me down. They will cut me down, and I will be given unto death. But that's when the kingdom's going to come alive. That's when my kingdom is going to come alive. In the death of Jesus, he took my sin. He took your sin. He took the punishment that was due us, and he placed it upon himself, and he died. By his blood, we are acquitted. But then days later, in his bleeding, he rose from the dead, and he destroyed the power of sin forever, forevermore. Death could not hold him. He says, in my resurrection, you will be bound to me, and I will thrust my power into you. The power of the kingdom is only beginning. You just watch out. This is the good news. This is the gospel which we believe. This is what we desire. This is what we want for our lives. In John 15, he's telling them, in binding to me, I'm going to fill you with power. This is the way. This is the way forward. And some of you here, I know for a fact that there's some of you here that all this is fresh. All this news is fresh. And you need to make that decision for the very first time to let go of your sin and bind to Jesus, because he wants to do an amazing work in your life. You don't have to be held by those sins anymore. You don't have to be held by that selfishness anymore. He has freedom for you, and he wants to give it to you. And not only that, he wants to give you power. It's in your gut right now. He's calling you to it. I want you to sit with that. I want you to be in that. I'm going to tell you how to make that decision in a bit. Hold on. Some of us here, I don't believe we're really experiencing the fullness, the full breadth of the powerful life that Jesus has for us. And why do I think that? Well, we suck at waiting. Right? We suck at remaining. We want to move fast. We pay a lot of money to move fast, to not have to wait. Right? A lot of us have had our patience tested, and guess what? The test results came out negative. We are not good at this. But I really do believe that this is what's holding us back from really experiencing the fullness of Jesus's promise to us. And sometimes I think the better offering that we can give is not our money, but our time. It's almost more precious to us. Jesus is saying, remain in me. The hard part is not the miracles. It's not the powerful life. It's not the gospel proclamation. That's not the hard part, because Jesus says he's going to do that in us. The hard part is staying. Sticking with it. We cringe at the thought of something that doesn't produce results fast. Guess what? Good grapes take time. Maturity is certain for those that are steadfast. So stick with it. Fruit bearing is impossible without abiding, but it's inevitable with abiding. That's what I want you guys to hear. You will be blessed. Others will be blessed in your remaining. You will begin to see in your life those things that you want to be seen by others. The fruit of the Spirit, as we look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23, love, joy, peace, patience, right? It's all part of it. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the things that we would begin to see as we abide in Jesus, as we see in our life, and others will see in us. So I was thinking about this of like, okay, what can I tie this to? What picture can I tie this to? And great movie back in the day, right? Saving Private Ryan. A lot of us have seen it. If you haven't seen it, it's okay. But in the end of the movie, right, you have Captain Miller. And he's sitting there. And he's hurt. And a tank is coming right at him. Enemy tank is coming right at him. What's he to do? There's nothing to do. He's by himself. It's coming at him. Pulls out his pistol. Hits it. Nothing happens, obviously. Keeps going. Keeps firing this pistol. And then one last shot. Tank explodes. And he stands there and he looks perplexed. He's like, what? And then he hears the noise and he looks overhead and he realizes that air reinforcements have come with much greater firepower. Doesn't it feel like sometimes we're firing pistol bullets at tanks? But let me assure you, you are backed by much greater firepower. Air reinforcements that want to help you, but you have to continue. You have to continue to be faithful. You have to continue to remain steadfast. This is the picture. We've looked at why we're appointed to it. We've seen how we're blessed with it. Finally, we are commanded to it. Why was Captain Miller there firing his pistol? He'd been commanded to it. He'd been commanded to be there. I remember this time that I was in the Philippines. I was on a mission trip there, and we went out to this rural area. And we met these farmers, these rural farmers, and they were telling us about what was going on. And there was this guy that was building this pig pen, right? And we were thinking, oh, like, this would be cool. We could help. And there was this one job that was needed to be done, that was very needed to be done, was actually they were trying to build this new septic trough, basically where all the excrement of the pigs would flow out. And into they were going to put cement there so they easily cleaned. But it was all dirt then. But we need to dig a new septic trough. Guess who got signed up to do it? And I'm sitting there. I jump in, got my shovel, and I'm digging, right? I'm digging through it. I'm sitting there. It is like 100 degrees. It's the Philippines, so it's like nasty humid. And I'm sitting there complaining. I got the stinks and the poop. And I'm sitting there. All my other like friends, they're like playing with the kids and like doing all this stuff, right? It's like stuff going everywhere. And I'm like, it's all over me. I'm sitting there and I just thought to myself, I recalled this passage. And all I said to myself was, Jordan, remain, remain. And I suddenly was filled with this strength, and I just want, I turned from like complaining, then I was like motivated. I'm like, yeah, let's get this. You know, it was like a good workout or something. Like, ugh. And like, I'm just digging, and I finish it up, and I remember like I'm sweating like profusely, and I sit on the edge, and I'm sitting there, And this family comes up, and this frail old man, and this is the man that we were helping out. And his kids come running out to me, and they hug me. I'm nasty, but they're hugging me, and they're on top of me, and the old man looks at me, and he says, "Why? Why would you do this?" And in that moment, I had the chance to share the gospel with him, that God got into the pit with me. And he did this for me. And we were able to watch that family come to faith in Jesus. Remain. The fruit is there. We've been commanded to do it. We've been commanded to remain. And we can't experience the powerful life without acting upon the command to live it out. We have to act on the command to live it out. Mark 16:15, listen to what it says. It says, "He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well.'" This is not one, I'm not going to beat this into the ground because I think we all get this. We actually have to do what Jesus is telling us to do. We have to get out there. And Kenny's going to talk more about the commands of Jesus next week as we look more into John 15. But this is what we're called to. John 15:8, this is the last verse in our section. John 15:8, it says, right? "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Showing yourselves to be my disciples. Is the proof in the pudding in your life? Does the title Christian do anything for us? Does it change anything in us? Are we actually living it out? Now, don't get me confused in saying, go try and do a bunch of stuff for God. The doing life, I've tried that life. It doesn't work. What I'm simply saying is He, Jesus' command to go into all creation and be a witness of his glory. Purposely and prayerfully put yourself in places that God can use you. Purposely and prayerfully put yourself in places that God can use you. Live that way, and our life will be a testimony to the Jesus inside of us. Okay, here's how I want to close this out. I want to call every one of us to elevate in our belief in God. To elevate to greater heights in our belief in empowering God. Myself included, I'm in this. Every one of us. Doesn't matter if you're here for the 500th time or if you're here for the first time. We're all doing this. Where we go, we must go together. We're not leaving anyone behind. We're all going here. You with me? We are going there. And I'm calling us to. I believe that God wants that greater belief. Look at this picture. Acts 5:15-16. 5 chapters into the story of the church. And listen to the reputation that they have. 5:15-16. He says, "As a result, people brought the sick into streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed." Holy cow. I mean, really? Like, really? Could Crossline have this sort of reputation? Like, do we even allow ourselves to dream that what is happening in Acts could be possible here at Crossline? that our reputation would go out in the surrounding cities, that people would know that is the place for healing. That is the place where power is coming out. Crossline, I don't want to be like any other church. Like, I want to bear some crazy fruit. Like, crazy fruit as a church. That we would be renowned as the vineyard that bears magnificent grapes. The life abundant is available to each and every one of us, and we're called to live in it. I'm telling you guys, there's too much abuse, there's too much divorce, there's too much depression, there's too much pornography addiction, there's too much child's like thinking to themselves, anxiety and suicide. God, there's too much. There's too much people living separate lives. People struggling financially, terrorism. There's just too much of that, you guys, for us to not bear fruit. There's never been a more important time in our history to be bold with sharing our faith. Right? Could we be truly known as agents of transformation in our city? That where we walk, Jesus walks. If I'm in him and he's in me, then Jesus walks where I walk. Do you believe that? Greater things are available to you. But it's gonna take every one of us doing our something. We all have that something. Maybe that something today for you is making a decision to bind to Jesus for the first time. Maybe that something today is confessing that secret sin that you've had over here, bringing it into the light and letting Jesus forgive it, putting it aside. Maybe that something today is choosing to actually take a stand in your family to draw them close and to be leading them in Bible study and prayer together, making a discipline in that. Maybe your something is to get out of that darkness that you've been living in your work where you're hiding your faith and actually get out and start sharing your faith. Who cares if you lose your job? This is the bigger job. Maybe your something is that you need to start being bold in your prayers, that there's sick people and you're being called, even though you're uncomfortable with it, to go and lay hands on them and pray for healing. Maybe your something is that you need to take some time off and you need to go to some place like India or Philippines or Haiti or Egypt or wherever it might be, wherever God might call, and spend a season pouring out your heart, sharing the gospel with those that need it. I don't know what your something is, but we all got it. And we're all being called to this next something. Jesus says to the church in Sardis in Revelation 3, he says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up. Strengthen what is about to die. Strengthen what is about to die. I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. We're not done, church. We're not done. Faith in Jesus isn't a spiritual lazy boy. It's enlisting in God's army to go be his vessel, that we would run hard the race until we reach the finish line that is the arms of Jesus. Let's do this thing. Right now, I want us to take communion together. We're gonna be playing a song, and as the song gets played, the cups are gonna be handed out. But don't take communion yet. We're gonna do it together, because where we go together. So hold on to it. I'm gonna lead us together in communion.